If you have your Bible, hold it up like this and say, the Word of God,
Word of God
is the answer. Amen.
Amen.
I want you to open your Bibles up, please, to Romans chapter 3, verse 27. They're going to put that up on the monitor. And I'm teaching from the subject, Faith Works. Faith Works. Now, faith is like a puzzle. And what we're doing in this series, we're putting together the pieces of the puzzle for four lessons. I know some of you are new, but for four lessons, we talked about the object of our faith, and we learned that the object of our faith is God. We're into the second piece of the puzzle. Last week, we began to talk about the law of faith. The scripture teaches that faith is a law. Now, if you notice here in Romans chapter 3, verse 27, it says, where is boasting then? It is excluded. By what law? Of works? Nay, no, but by the law of faith. Say the law of faith.
The law of faith.
So we see from the text, from the scriptures, that faith is a law. That's what we're talking about. Faith is a law. Now, faith is a law in the sense that electricity and gravity is a law. If we operate within the framework of the law of gravity, the law of electricity, then the law will bless us. It's dependable. It will help us. If we break the law of electricity, if we break the law of gravity, then it could lead to our death. Now, I want you to think about this for a moment, very carefully. If we're ignorant of these laws, if we're ignorant of the law of gravity, if we're ignorant of the law of electricity, then we cannot enjoy the benefits that they bring. So for centuries, follow me. For centuries, man knew nothing about the law of electricity. So he could only do things in the daytime, couldn't do anything at night. He could not operate at the level that we're operating. For years, man knew nothing about the law of gravity, the law of aerodynamics. So man could not fly in an airplane. So watch this. Man lived far below what God intended for him to live because of his ignorance. Because of his ignorance. So it is in the kingdom. If we don't understand the law of faith, then we'll live far below where God wants us to live. And that's true in the body of Christ. The church is living far below because we haven't understood the law of faith. Many believers are living far below where God wants them to live because they haven't understood the law of faith. So in our last lesson, we learned that the law of faith is an equal opportunity law. It was established by God so that every child of God, every Christian, will have a fair chance in life. God wants every believer to have a fair chance to win in life. God wants you to have a fair chance to win in life. We also said that the law of faith is a universal principle. It works 100% of the time. The same way, regardless of the circumstances, the law of faith works the same way. And then we began to talk about something very interesting. Very interesting. We said that the law of faith supersedes natural laws and human limitations. Natural laws and human limitations. Now, let's look at the word supersede for just a moment. Let's look at the word supersede. The word supersede means to set aside. It means to replace an authority, power, to make inferior. So we see that this law of faith will set aside natural laws, will replace natural laws, make natural laws inferior. It's going to be an amazing journey that we're going to take today. Just an absolutely amazing journey. So we're going to talk specifically about natural laws. Going to almost sound like you in school. It's going to almost sound like you in your science class. But we need to understand God's order. So let's talk a little bit about natural laws. Turn in your Bibles to Jeremiah chapter 33. And let's look at verse 25. They're going to put it up on the monitor. And let's talk about natural laws today. Next week, we'll talk about human limitations. The law of faith supersedes natural laws. So what is a natural law? Remember, I'm going somewhere now. What is a natural law? What is a natural law? A natural law is a description of the way the world is and how it works. A description of the way the world is and how it works. In fact, God calls natural laws ordinances of heaven and earth. Look at Jeremiah chapter 33, verse 25. It says, thus saith the Lord, if my covenant be not with day, said day, and night, said night, if I have not appointed the ordinances of heaven and earth. Notice the ordinances of heaven and earth. What are the ordinances of heaven and earth? The ordinances of heaven and earth are the natural laws. God established natural laws. Now, the Bible says, and you can write this down, we won't turn to it, in Genesis 8:22, it says, while the earth remain, it's going to be seed time, going to be harvest, going to be cold and heat, it's going to be summer and winter, going to be day and night. We're moving toward night. We had day, we're moving toward night. We're in the winter season, but soon summer is coming. So why do we have summer and winter? Why do we have day and night? Because God established natural laws. Say natural laws. Say natural laws. Now, let me give you some examples of natural laws. We hit it somewhere. The law of chemistry is a natural law. The law of physics is a natural law. The law of mathematics is a natural law. The law of gravity, we talked about it last week, is a natural law. The law of planetary motion, we'll look at that today, is a natural law. The law of aerodynamics, that's why we can fly in an airplane, because of that natural law. Now listen carefully. These natural laws not only govern the universe, but these natural laws that God put in place also governs nature. That's why we have day, night. That's why we have seasons. We'll look at that in just a moment. But these natural laws also govern our bodies, how our bodies work. Sometimes there are things that break down in our natural bodies, chemical reactions in our natural bodies. The law is not working the way that it should be working. So these natural laws govern the universe, govern nature, govern our bodies, but also govern how we engage everyday life. Now, I want you to turn to Genesis chapter 1. Can you turn and listen at the same time? Come on, so I can turn and listen at the same time. Genesis chapter 1. Now, let's talk. So why, Pastor Mike, why did God establish natural laws? You go ahead, and you can put it up on the monitor. We're going to get there in just a moment. Just leave it there. Now, why did God establish natural laws? Say natural laws.
Natural laws.
God established natural laws so that would be order, predictability, continuity, and balance in the universe. I give it to you again because I know you didn't get it. You didn't get it all. Okay. God established natural laws so that there'll be order. Say order.
Order.
Predictability.
Continuity
and balance
in
the universe. Now listen at this. Natural laws are the logical and orderly way God uphold and sustain the universe. If God didn't put these natural laws, the universe couldn't be established. There would be no order in the universe. So let's look for just a moment at the law of planetary motion. Oh, it sounds like a science class. Oh, Lord, I came up there. I thought he was going to teach the Bible. He up there teaching the science class. No. You need to understand this. I've taught faith, but I never taught this before. You need to understand this so that when you're using your faith, you won't be intimidated by natural laws.
That's right.
So let's look now for just a moment at the law of planetary motion. Is found in Genesis chapter 1, verse 14 through 18. This is where your science book got the information from.
Wow.
It got the information from this creation when God created. Let's look at this. And God said, let there be lights in the firmament of the heaven to divide the day from the night. That's why we have day and we have night. Watch this. And let them be for signs and for seasons, for days and years. Notice we have days, we have years, we have seasons. Winter, spring, summer, fall. Right in the scriptures. And God said, let them be for lights in the firmament of the heaven to give light upon the earth. And it was so. Let's look at the next verse. And God made two great lights. The greater light to rule the day, the lesser light to rule the night. And he made the stars also. Question, you're a smart class. How many smart, you're in the smart class. Let me see how you're in the smart class. So what was that greater light? Come on, talk to me. It was the sun. What was the lesser light? It was the moon. So we see here, let's read verse 17. Verse 17, it says, and God made two great lights, the greater light to... Okay. And God set them in the firmament of the heaven to give the light upon the earth, verse 18, and to rule over the day and over the night and to divide the light from the darkness. And God saw that it was what? Good. Now this right here is the law of planetary motion. You mind if I teach you some about this law? Come on, say yes, I want to hear some. Come on, say yes, I want to hear some. Okay, now watch this. This law of planetary motion that we just read, verses 14 through 18, describes the motion of the planets around the sun. The sun, the greater light, is a star. How many knew that? The sun is a star, and it is the center of the solar system. The sun provides heat and light to living things. The moon, that's the lesser light, is a satellite. How many knew that? The moon is a satellite, and it rotates around the earth 27.3 days and reflects sunlight into our night. That's where you see the moon is reflecting the light from the sun into our night. Listen at this. The earth is a planet. How many knew that? Okay. The earth is a planet. Watch this. And it rotates around the sun 365 days. The earth's rotation on its axis is responsible for day and night. The earth is rotating on its axis, and it's responsible for day and night. Now remember, the earth is going around the sun. The sun is in the center. The earth is going around the sun. Now watch this. When the earth is exposed to the sun, we have day. And the part of the earth that's not exposed to the sun, we have night. So whenever a part of the earth is not exposed to the sun because it's rotating, we're going to have night. The part that's exposed to the sun is we're going to have day. The tilt of the earth on its axis toward the sun and away from the sun determine whether we have seasons. So when the earth tilts away, it's why we have the seasons, winter, spring, summer, and fall. You say, well, but what that got to do with the Bible? What that got to do? What that got to do with this class? Okay, watch this. We're talking now carefully. God established these laws for four reasons: so that we have order, predictability, continuity, and balance. Now watch this. If we too close to the sun, we'll burn up. Watch this. If we're too far away from the sun, we'll freeze to death. Without this law of planetary motion, the planets would run into each other. Wow. God is wonderful, isn't it? Amen. So here in Genesis, we see that God established a law of planetary motion, right? Okay, now here's, we get into some heavy stuff now. It's going to be good stuff. Come on, say good stuff. It's going to be good stuff. Now listen at this. Turn in your Bible to Psalm 74. Psalm 74. I'm about to get happy. I say I'm about to get happy. I say I'm about to get happy. So we see now that God established these natural laws. Now here's, while you turn into Psalm 74, we're going to put verse 16 and 17. Listen carefully, listen carefully. God is not subject to the natural laws he created. Now watch me, look at me. God stands outside of time and outside of the earth. He created the earth and then he established natural laws so that there would be order and predictability and all that. But God is not subject to the laws that he made. He still stands outside and he's still the boss of the earth, everybody in the earth, and he's still the boss of these laws. Come on, get it. Come on, get it. Come on, get it. Now watch this. Let's look at what the scripture says in Psalm 74, 16. Psalm 74, 16. It says, the day is thine. It says, the night also is thine. Thou hast prepared the light and the sun. Now notice what it says. It said the day belonged to God. It said the night belonged to God. So he's not subject to the laws that he created. Now watch this. Look at the next verse. Thou hast set all the borders of the earth. Thou hast made the summer and the winter. So God is not subject to these laws. Now, follow me carefully. Follow me carefully. These laws govern the universe, govern nature, and in many cases govern what goes on in our bodies. That's why we go to the doctor, because something was wrong. Something naturally was not working the way it should be. But God, come on, say God, is not subject to the laws that he established. We're talking faith now. We're talking faith. You cannot operate in a high level of faith if you get intimidated by what's going on in the earth. Got it? Okay. Now I want you to turn in your Bibles to Joshua chapter 10. Joshua chapter 10. The law of faith supersedes natural laws. That's what I want you to get today. I want you to get that the law of faith will set aside natural laws. When you find Joshua chapter 10, say amen. Amen. Okay, now listen at this statement. Listen at this statement. In the Bible, there are instances of God intervening. God doing what?
Intervening.
Altering. What?
Altering.
Watch this. And suspending. Say suspending. Watch this, and setting aside natural laws. Watch this. Why? In order to establish his word and in order to fulfill his promises. So when God gives a word and a promise, he has the capacity to alter the natural laws, suspend them. Set them aside, make them inferior so that he can fulfill his promises in our life. You never walk by faith if you don't understand this, if you don't understand it, because you'll go and you'll get a doctor's report. And the doctor say you're going to die. The doctor say you're going to have this the rest of your life. Why? Because the doctor is looking at your body based off natural laws. Does that make sense? The doctor's not lying. The doctor's not against you. The doctor's not trying to hurt you. We don't teach don't go to doctors. We believe that doctors are blessings from God. You understand that? But the doctor is looking at your life from a natural standpoint. And you cannot walk by faith if you don't understand that God is not subject to the natural laws. Does that make sense to anybody?
Amen.
There are going to be times when you're going to get reports on a natural level. It may be a financial report. Your credit record says you can't get the house.
Come on, Doc. Teach
it. Your grade level, your test score say you can't get in college.
My Lord.
That's natural. God never intended for us to be subject to natural laws. God can set aside it for you. God can alter it for you. God can make it inferior for you. We operate on the same level as unbelievers because we don't understand the power and the capacity of the faith of life. The law of faith is powerful.
Hallelujah.
Are you hearing what I'm saying?
Hallelujah.
Man, when I get through with you, you're going to feel like you can eat iron.
Woo!
Yes, you are. You're going to feel like you can eat iron. Now, watch this. I don't know where I am. Oh, okay. I'm doing good on my time. Watch this. The Bible says, and the Lord said to Joshua, fear them not, for I have delivered them into thy hand, and there shall not a man of them stand before you. Now watch this. The Amorites came up against Joshua, and it looked like Joshua was not going to win, but God gave Joshua two things. We talked about it. He gave him a proclamation. He said, now, Joshua, don't you be afraid. Saying the same thing to you. Don't you be afraid. He said, for I have delivered them into your hand. And then he gave him a promise. He said, there shall not a man stand before you. Now, let's look at the next verse. It says, Joshua therefore came to them suddenly and went up from Gilgal all night. Next verse. And the Lord discomfited them before Israel and slew them with a great slaughter of Gibeon and chased them along the way that goeth up to whatever. Next verse. And it came to pass as they fled from before Israel and were in the going down to Bethhoron that the Lord cast down great stones from heaven. Wow, sound like he intervened.
Yes, sir.
And did some in nature. He said, right. God did some in nature. Watch this. And they died, and they were more that died with the hailstone than they that whom the children of Israel slew with sword. Next verse. Then spake Joshua to the Lord in the day when the Lord delivered up the Amorites before the children of Israel, and he said in the sight of Israel, son, stand still. Joshua said, son, stand still upon Gibeon and thou moon in the valley of Judah. In other words, he was defeating them, but he was running out of daylight.
Wait, come on.
He said, we need a little more daylight so we can take them, Lord. So I want the sun to stand still. Now watch the next verse. And the sun stood still. And the moon stayed until the people had avenged themselves upon their enemies. Is not this written in the book of Jasher? So the sun stood still in the midst of heaven and hasten not to go down about a whole day.
Wow. My.
Now, you know, Joshua didn't know anything about science like we know science. So what really happened? Here's what happened. The scripture says the sun stood still and the moon stayed. The moon literally stopped rotating. And the earth slowed down its rotation. It was rotating and it slowed down its rotation and it literally stopped rotating. And the earth stopped rotating, which meant the part that was facing the sun stayed there. So the day stayed there because God intervened.
Come on now.
Yes.
Superseded. Set aside.
Yes.
Alter natural laws because God is not subject to natural laws. Hook it. Are there any other times when God has set aside natural laws? Let me give you some. Well, can you turn and listen at the same time?
Yes, sir.
Okay, so turn over and you just hold your place. We're going to get there in a moment. You turn over there. Turn over to Matthew chapter 14 and just hold your place. Do you understand what I'm saying? Do you know where I'm going with this? Is your spirit grabbing this?
Yeah. Amen.
Do you understand the capacity? How many believers here? How many are you saved? Do you understand the capacity that you have? The capacity that you have in God. You have a capacity. See, the world is supposed to be looking at Christians like they're strange. Do you hear what I'm saying?
Amen.
So, Pastor Mike, let me ask you a question. Are there any other instances where God set aside natural laws? Write this down. We won't turn to it. Mark 6. He set aside the law of mathematics. He had 5,000 men plus women and children. We're going to feed all of them.
Okay.
Then have 5 loaves and 2 fish. The law of mathematics says you're going to only get so much out of it.
That's right.
5 loaves, 2 fish?
That's right.
If you take away from the 5 loaves, you got less. Every time the law of mathematics says, say every time you subtract some, you're going to have less. So he broke it, gave it to the disciples, and they fed. And they kept multiplying. He broke it again, and he fed. That does not compute. You cannot feed 5,000 men plus women and children, which probably was around 20,000 folk.
Come on.
With 5 loaves and 2 fish.
Okay.
God superseded the law of mathematics. He set it aside. He altered it. He suspended it. Why? To carry out his will, carry out his assignment. God will alter stuff to carry out his assignment in your life. Okay. Pastor Mike, is there anywhere else that he did that? In Romans chapter 4, verse 17, he altered the natural law of biogenesis. The law of biogenesis says that life always come out of life.
Oh, glory. Come on now.
That's the law of biogenesis, that life comes out of life. You cannot get life out of death. In Romans chapter 4, verse 17, the Bible says that God quickens dead.
Come on.
He quickens dead things and called things that be not as though they were. The Bible says that Abraham considered not his own body, watch this, now dead.
Okay.
Neither the deadness of Sarah's womb. He was dead, her womb was dead. You understand what I'm talking about? This guy's 100 years old. He's 100 years old. His wife is 90 years old. And God said, I'm going to give you a baby. Well, the law of biogenesis says you can't get life out of death. You can only get life out of life. And the Bible says that her womb was dead and he dead too. You understand? Do I have to explain this to you? Do I have to be graphic? He just didn't have it. You know what I mean? He couldn't work it no more. It wasn't working. You understand what I'm saying? It wasn't working anymore. You got it. Okay. So I can go on, right? I don't need to be more graphic than that. And the Bible says he quickened their bodies. So he set aside the law of biogenesis. So it sounds to me like he can set aside anything dead in your life.
Woo! Come on, God.
A dead marriage.
Come on, God.
Dead finances.
Come on, God.
Dead business. Dead grades.
My.
Sound like he can make it alive because he's not subject to the natural laws, precious people. He is not subject. And he gave you the law of faith. You say, yeah, but that's God. Okay, let's close out by looking at a man. That's God. Let's look at a man. You got Matthew chapter 14.
Mm-hmm.
You got Matthew chapter 14.
Amen.
You got Matthew chapter 14.
Mm-hmm.
You got Matthew chapter 14.
Mm-hmm.
You got Matthew chapter 14.
Mm-hmm.
Look at verse 28. Look at verse 28. And Peter answered him and said, Lord, if it be you, bid me to come to thee on the water. What? I think I'll stay on the boat. He said, if that's really you, Jesus, walking on the water. Somebody said, but that's Jesus. Jesus is supposed to walk on the water because he's the Son of God. But Peter said, now listen, if that's really you, I want to walk. Watch this. And he said, come. Come on, say, come.
God.
Just one word from God. Just one word from God can change your life. Just one word, just one word, just one word. Come on, just one word, just one word. Not a bunch of words, just one word. He said, come. And when Peter was come down out of the ship,
okay.
This ain't God. It's not Jesus. And he walked on But Pastor Mike, nobody can walk on the water. Well, sound like some thought a law was set aside. Listen at this, and I close right here. Human can't walk on the water. Come on, say, human can't walk on the water. Let's talk science for just 30 seconds, science. The reason humans can't walk on the water is because the water has a surface tension of one. Substances with a specific gravity of one or less will be buoyant and float on the water. Substances with specific gravity greater than one are denser than water and will sink. If you were a straw, say, if I was a straw. Or if you were a small insect, say, if I was a small insect. You could float and walk on the water because you would not break the surface tension. Humans are too heavy, and according to the law of physics, hydrodynamics, and fluid dynamics, it is impossible for humans to walk on the water. If you were a straw, you could walk on the water. If you were a small insect, you could walk on the water. But you're a human. Come on, say, I'm a human. So it is impossible for humans to walk on the water. But he walked on the water. And all he had was come. Precious people, listen to me. All you need is a word from God. You don't have to have the money. You don't have to have the grades. You don't have to have. All you need is a word from God. And if you get a word from God, you can walk on water.